All right, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11 here tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, you know that Hebrews 11 is what's known as the faith chapter. And you get, it's also sometimes known as the Hall of Fame in the Bible because so many Old Testament characters and so on are listed. And, you know, quite a list of things you will see in the passage that, in the chapter, that the theme of things largely is just by faith, what was done by faith. And there's lots of sermons to be preached here. I'm going to go over, though, and begin reading in verse 23. We're going to look at Moses here for just a little while with this. Some other things could be added, but what is here is usually quite a mouthful for modern Christians who have preconceptions already and have misconceptions as well about this thing with faith. Now, look, we've got to make sure that we're on the same page here. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, the same man should boast, right? You're saved by faith plus nothing. There is a certain amount, there is a repentant spirit that is involved with that kind of faith, according to Matthew. And if you are still unrepentant, in the sense of not having turned and realized how empty your dead religion was, then any kind of faith's not going to do you any good. Just adding Jesus Christ to your mantle is not going to help things. Right? If you have not repented of the fact that you think you're hot patooties and that your works and good deeds count for anything, if you can't turn from that, then no matter what you say you believe, is going to help you with anything, okay? Because Jesus Christ came to this earth to pay it all for you so that when you put your faith in Him, there's an understanding in that. And I'm not standing here preaching that there's no such thing as a biblical repentance, because there certainly is. And there, in fact, there's a needed repentance and salvation. It's just not necessarily a distinct and separate step. And sometimes it's hard to break things down into distinct and separate steps, all right? You've seen tracks, you know, one, know you're a sinner, two, know you're going to hell, three, repent, four, believe, you know, and that's fine. I mean, you've got to simplify things and break things down, but all in all, I don't believe necessarily that repentance is necessarily an independent step in things. It looks to me like that coming to a biblical belief that there is an element of repentance in that. And so just somebody standing up and saying their confirmation vows, repeating, you know, what they've been told, it doesn't count for anything unless you have turned from your works and your dirty, rotten, dead religion before you say, and for that matter, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you. That's what's wrong, and I'm going on here for a while, but that's all right. It's Sunday night. And you're not going to get to see the Vikings anyway. The game's going to be over by the time I'm done anyway. So see, it doesn't matter. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a way that people believe these days, and you know you start talking to them about their salvation. Oh yeah, I believe that. Then why couldn't you answer the question to start with? And why do you not say it with any kind of any zeal or any kind of ardor? But you do get saved by grace through faith. That's all there is to it. I mean, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You're saved by grace through faith. Okay, it's faith. But faith doesn't end when you become a Christian. It just doesn't. You are you gain entrance to the kingdom of God by faith. And then you spend the rest of your life as a Christian. You're supposed to. Walking by faith. Now, we talked about that this morning. But go down to verse 23, and there's some other things to be said here. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, so it was his parents' faith, because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Verse 24, now this becomes Moses' faith. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they, and now it's Israel's faith. So, Moses' faith is found from verse 24 through verse 28. But to continue just to the end here, verse 29, by faith they passed the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we come to you here tonight. It's not an unfamiliar topic at all. In fact, we kind of talked about the topic in some measure here this morning. We pray, Lord, that you'd help remind us of some things. Again, we'd pray if somebody here is lost that's never received you, that they'd see that they need to take the first and simplest step of faith before they can take any of the rest of these. But we pray, Father, that we Christians would not remain so rudimentary and so childish in our thinking that we should think that all that really matters is what we believe in our heads. It goes a lot beyond that. And so we pray here, Father, you give us instruction tonight and help in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, by faith, by faith, by faith. In fact, verse 23, by faith Moses. Verse 27, by faith he forsook. Verse 28, through faith he kept. And then again, verse 29, by faith they. By faith, by faith, by faith. All right, again, we talked this morning. The just shall live by faith, right? And that means that when you got saved, that you got saved by faith, and that you'll live because of what you put your faith and trust in. That's very true. But there's also a very practical, very daily aspect, has nothing to do with gaining your salvation or keeping your salvation. There is a very important aspect about walking daily as a Christian that has to do with walking by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. I know you expected me to say that, but I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live not, well, it's his faith he gave me, so it's his faith, but my faith is in the Son of God, and I do what I do daily by faith of the Son of God, right? I mean, it's by faith. By grace are you saved through faith, but not of yourselves. We walk by faith and not by sight, though, right? And this is one of those things where folks and people, because it's repeated so often, I am the enemy of cliches in religious service. I tell you what drives me nuts. You know, I just hate it. I hate to catch myself at times saying words or phrases that everybody expects me to say. And I really try not to, but it's impossible to use biblical terminology without stumbling on things where people think they know, they think they apprehend the Bible idea of what you're talking about, and they really don't. And a classic example of that is anybody here that's run across Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they say. But they don't mean what you mean. And by the way, they don't mean what God means. By the way, they don't mean what the Bible means. They've brought in their entire, their definition for what the Son of God is, the Bible definition of what the Son of God is, who the Son of God is, Jesus Christ. He was God manifest in the flesh. That's not what a Mormon believes. That is not what a Jehovah's Witness believes. When we talk about grace, you know, what you should, clearly understand is that grace is by faith in Jesus Christ, and then God extends you His favor in other matters in life. But when you say grace to a Roman Catholic, sacraments, right? It's eating a wafer, it's drinking the wine, it's having the right words said at the right time, and the right symbols, and, you know, being buried in the right place and being married in the right place and making sure you show up to church on the right days. Those are sacraments, okay? And then that's how you get grace. And so, folks, I am the enemy of that stuff, and we find ourselves stumbling across that all the time. You know, even as Christians, you hear people talk about my gifts. And sometimes when you determine what they think their gift is, it has nothing to do with anything in the Bible at all. My gift is dancing. Well, you know, God's going to really use that. You know, people think they know what Christ's yoke is. My yoke is that. My cross is that I'm just not able to lose weight. You couldn't find that in a Bible with a flashlight. People think all kinds of things about all kinds of things. And I fear that we've come that way, you know, with faith. Faith has become this feel-good thing. And I mentioned this morning in talking about it a little bit, you know, Oprah's faith is a lot different than mine. I mean, you know, she believes anything, basically, any feel-good humanist crackpot brings along, as long as it's not biblical. You may not know it or not. She was born into a fundamental home. I think she was Pentecostal. And somewhere along the way, the Bible got under her skin, and she is now a raving New Age lunatic. Thank you, you're welcome. But, you know, what she calls faith is nothing like mine. What Tom Cruise calls faith is nothing like mine whatsoever. He's a Scientologist. All right? Say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, a lot of times faith is misunderstood. And I would, again, make sure that you understand that when I'm talking about this, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as far as getting saved is concerned, you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, which the Bible says is the power of God unto salvation. When you heard it, you were empowered right there and then to believe. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you chose to believe what the gospel said, Jesus Christ came in you and lives in you if you received it and exercised faith in Jesus Christ. Right? Then after you're saved. Now, after you're saved, that's a sealed deal. It's like being born the first time. Once you're born the first time, you're kind of born. There's not an unborn. There's not a half-born. Born is born. And once you're born again as well, I'm sorry, but you've been born again and you'll just have to go to heaven. But it doesn't mean that that's the end of faith. And faith is a little different for a Christian in the respect of it's not just believing. Folks, faith also has feet. And that's kind of what we look at this matter here about, because nowadays people want to live their faith just by basically believing whatever, and a lot of times they think that it has no, you know, all that matters is what I believe. Yeah, but what you believe is supposed to affect how you live. What you believe is supposed to affect your theology. It's supposed to affect the words that you say. It's supposed to affect how you think. It's supposed to affect how you sleep at night. All right? It's not as simple as, well, I just believe this and that's all that matters. And no, it's not all that matters. It's not all that matters. Not for a Christian, not at all. And in this passage, you find some things, and you find that faith is not just what you believe in your heart. It goes beyond that. And I want to talk tonight about some things that faith involves. And I believe that this is a message that's sadly lost on a lot of Christians. I don't know necessarily that it's lost on you, but it's something that always threatens you. Because, look, your flesh just like me, and I tell you what you like the easy way out. And you're a big lazy doof. And that's what I am, and that's what we all are. That's what everybody has always been. And you're going to have to fight that particular demon, for lack of a better term, till the day you die. In this passage, it talks about some things that faith involves. This is very plain stuff here. Notice verse 23. Now, this was Moses' parents' faith. By faith, when he was born, he was hid for 3 months. Well, he didn't hide. His parents hid him. So, okay. But notice in verse 24, it says when he came to years. Okay, there comes a point in your life that you come to years, and I'm sorry, what your mom and dad believed doesn't matter anymore. For you, anyway. All that matters is when you come to years is what you believe. I don't know what those years are exactly, but if we're talking about salvation, somewhere, anywhere from 4, 5, sometimes 4 or 5, more often 6, 7, or 8 years old, you come to years and you're responsible for what you believe in your own heart. And by the time Moses is grown, of course, it goes beyond that because he's making life choices about some other things. And in verse 24, by faith, Moses. Okay, now by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I just want you to see there that there's something that goes along with faith. There's something that faith involves besides just what Moses felt in his heart or believed in his heart. There's something beyond that. I wanted you to see that there is a refusal of faith. It said in verse 24, by faith he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused. Now, folks, I don't know. Used to be a day where, you know, if you called yourself a Christian in America, that nobody really blinked twice. It was a common thing and they were used to it. We've now come to a little bit more of an adversarial day where now you might be talking to a Muslim or some other kind of wacko environmentalist or whatever. And because of that, you know, when you say you're a Christian, then you may come to adversity immediately there. But you know what? Still in America, for the most part, if you say you're a Christian and that you're a person of Christian faith, for the most part, nobody's going to bother you. But I'll tell you this, what they do expect from you, what they do want from you, and where they will get on you is if you don't cooperate with them in all their little, you know, sideshow things. If you don't recycle, they're going to get mad. Okay? If you don't dress up your kids at Halloween like witches and ghouls and goblins and skeletons, they might get mad. If you don't really cooperate with the whole commercial, material, satanic Christmas thing wholeheartedly at work, they just don't understand. Right? If you don't think that Easter bunnies have anything to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they might just get mad. There's something about you not going along. There's something about you when you refuse to go out for a social drink with them that ticks them off. When you have convictions about certain kinds of music and the fruit that that music brings forth, and you refuse to have part in it, when you leave a table when somebody's telling a certain kind of joke and you walk away, I can tell you this, it won't be long until they're upset with you. And I'll tell you what they're going to be upset with you about. They're going to be upset with you because you've refused them. Whatever your faith is, your faith, if in talking about those things, they expect you to compromise your faith. They expect for you to go along. They expect for you to compromise your commission. They don't expect you to speak out about what the Bible says about what they're doing. Okay? And when you say no, they're going to get upset. You see, ladies and gentlemen, faith, people today, I think that only... Did I say that right? People today think that faith only says yes, I think. Well, my boss said that I could get transferred out to Timbuktu. There's not a church anywhere around, but I'll be making 15 grand more than I make now. And I've been praying about it.
And I think that the door of faith is open.
Right?
Well, no, we're not married yet, but I love him. And I prayed about it. And, you know, I think that I think he's not saved, I know that. But I think that the Lord's speaking to my heart that he'll change.
I'm really of the opinion that these days that when folks say, you know, they're I have faith, I'm walking by faith, I think they think that faith only says yes. I don't know where you got that idea. You read right here, right now, that by faith, when he was come to years, maybe you need to grow up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I got news for you. Faith says no sometimes. In fact, faith says no a lot of times. It really does. There's a lot of times that you are brought up to a certain place at a certain time where somebody wants you to do something wrong, where for that matter, you want to do something wrong. And you have to say no. By faith, Moses refused. By faith, Moses said no. You know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego refused to bow when the music played to that image. They said no. Daniel refused to cease praying. He said no. In years later, boy, I tell you what, Abraham wished that he had told Lot, no, you can't go with me. Abraham in time wished that he had told Sarah, no, I do not want Hagar for a concubine. All right? I wish Abraham had said no as far as having Hagar for a concubine. You talk about something that reaches all the way up to our day, folks. I mean, really. Now look, folks, I want you to just see that there are times, and we talk all the time about we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, my faith, I have such strong faith. Does your faith ever say no? I really hope so, because Moses' faith said no. As a matter of fact, that's the first thing it said about Moses' faith. It said, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said no. Part of faith is refusing to do wrong. Part of faith is refusing not to do right. There's a good deal of faith that just has to say, no, I'm not doing it. No, I'm not going there. No, no. I feel bad as a parent sometimes. No, 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 no. Sometimes I feel like a big sucker. They get you down and hold you down, and you're just supposed to say yes all the time. And sometimes, you know, everybody wants their hand in my pocket. You know, Dad, can I? Dad, can I? Dad, can we? You think we can? No, 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 no. All right? Folks, if it's as simple in life as that, then you ought to understand that there has to be a lot of times that faith does not just say yes. Faith says no. All right? Now I want you to see something else. And it's not hard to figure out this outline. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So the first thing is that one of the things that faith involves is a refusal. There's places you can't go by faith. There's things that you can't do by faith. There's things you can't listen to by faith. You can't look at by faith. You can't do it by faith. Well, I just think that a Christian can go out and have a little bit of booze and that the Lord will bless it. You try that. Say, Lord, bless this booze. You just give it a shot. Okay? There are things that faith refuses. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and the Word of God says, and because the Word of God says it, you know what's right, and you therefore have the faith to refuse. All right, there's something else, though. In verse 25, as a continuation of that, now this started back in verse 24, by faith Moses, and you can just, since we preached 24, just skip down to 25. By faith Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Okay, by faith Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Okay, there not only is there a refusal of faith, excuse me, but there is a choice of faith. I mean, Moses made choices. We live in a country now. I don't know that people in New Guinea feel this way. I don't know if people in South America feel this way, because they're not a bunch of babies. They're scraping for a living, a lot of them. All right? But in America, we've come to a day where everything is about victimhood. We're all victims. And somewhere along the way, I guess they missed a choice 101 in school. And they don't recognize that there's a lot of curves that the life throws you that you can't help a lot. You can't help who your parents are. You can't help into what circumstances you were born. But there comes a day when you come to years that you start making choices. And no matter what you say, and no matter, you know, how many strikes you had against you, God's going to hold you accountable for the choices that you make. And in this passage, it says that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction. Now listen, folks, I know that what he chose was to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to take Pharaoh's daughter's name, be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and to, sever connections between him and the, you know, Israelites. And he had it made, let's face it. I mean, he could have conceivably, you know, been a Pharaoh one day, and if failing that, he probably could have lived the rest of his life in Pharaoh's palace doing what he wanted to do. And I realize that to us materialistic, leisure-minded, convenience-minded Americans, that may sound like the thing. I mean, three massages a day, getting served breakfast in bed, lunch in bed, dinner in bed. You know, I don't know, you know, spas and baths and doing a whole lot of nothing, right? Maybe that sounds fine, and I'm sure it does sound fine. But you got to understand, Moses did not exactly have an easy life. I mean, look, when you're taken away from your mother and your father when you're a kid and you know it, that doesn't leave anybody without scars. I mean, so, you know, you look at his outward circumstances and you say, well, yeah, he had it easy. No, he didn't have it easy. All right. And, you know, in spite of everything else, he made the right choices. I want you to see that there's a choice. There are choices that faith forces you to make. There's a choice of faith. There's the choosing of faith, not just the refusal. Moses never had to lead Israel. He chose to say yes, and he went in a roundabout fashion and didn't do it in God's time and some other things. But in the end, Israel stands in the land of Canaan having had Moses deliver them across the river. Right? Now listen, folks. There's an awful lot of faith that has to do with making choices. And it's not about walking around with charismatic music ringing through your ears with your head in the clouds talking about how much faith you have and how good you feel. It's about choices. I got news for you. If your Bible does not help you make the right choices in life, then your Christianity is no good. I mean, seriously. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. You're not all that different from a drunk out there trying to find a warm place to sleep tonight. And you're not that far, by the way, from his lot. I tell you what a lot of the differences are. A lot of the differences are the choices that you made. Now, I don't just mean about the ones about not picking up a bottle, but somewhere along the way, there are a bunch of people that give up and they choose not to work. They choose to be a victim. They choose to not battle through some real hardships. I'm not saying they're not real hardships. I'm not saying that they're not real obstacles. But somewhere along the way, You know, somebody needs to be told, listen, life is not easy and life's not fun. It's never been fun. There's been entire generations that understood that. I don't know why ours doesn't. But apparently, these days, you can take a mortgage for 3 times what you can afford and still stay in the house for a while, I guess. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, I tell you what, you better make the right choices. Faith chooses. The right kind of faith makes the right kind of choices. We walk by faith, not by sight. We also choose by faith. All right, there's something else I need you to see. In verse, let's start with verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There's the refusal of faith. Verse 25, choosing rather. There's a choice of faith. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I wonder how many people, as on principle, are willing to choose a more difficult road, a road with afflictions, as opposed to a road with pillows. You know, the road that leads to relatively instant gratification. You know, I mean, we may have come to the end of it, folks. It's always been a little bit of a marvel to me. You know, Marcy and I didn't really own a home. We lived in trailers. You know, when we were in Pensacola, we lived in 2 trailers here before we ever got into our own home. We felt like the Lord, you know, built one foundation block at a time and blessed us up to a certain point. And now, man, kids come out of school, they got 14 credit cards already, $30,000 worth of credit card debt, not including school debt, and they still expect to have 2 brand new cars in the garage and a house. Well, fine, but there are some choices involved in that don't have a real good foundation. All right, there's something else to please see. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We are pretty bad about instant gratification, aren't we? But then in verse 26, notice another one of these words. Again, verse 24, by faith Moses, verse 26, esteeming, he esteemed by faith, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Well, by faith Moses esteemed. can you see there the calculation of faith? Calculator is what you use to add up numbers. When you make calculations, some of your decisions are calculative decisions. I mean, you have to make judgments. You have to make discernments. I mean, is this going to work? Is there enough here? Is there too much there? It's calculation. It's esteeming. It's thinking. God didn't take away your brain when you got saved. He actually intends for you to use your brain, your mind, once you get saved. You're supposed to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. But he actually intends for you to think. And there's a couple of different ways to think. You can think along the ways of the world, and they're really deceived out there, folks. They think that believing in evolution is scientific. They don't know that their faith is wilder and more far out and more exotic than anything any of us believe here. The foundations for what we believe are far sounder than anything that the average professor at an evolutionary, you know, science department believes. You see, folks, There's the calculation of faith. There's a couple different kinds of faith. And one of those kinds of faith is the world's faith. Faith cometh by hearing, okay? And this world believes what it believes because it's heard it over and over and over and over and over again. There are people that think the globe is warming up. Not here. You say, yeah, but Brother Stevens, you know, it's, you know, with global warming, also comes global cooling at the same time. That makes sense. That does. No matter what happens with the temperature, it's still global warming. I get it. Until the next sequence of generational freako scientists come along and say, oh no, we're going to the ice age. Then, no matter what happens, even if the earth heats up, we're still going into an ice age. That's how this works. I get it. Folks, there are there are scientists that take temperature readings on this earth for entire generations, and they say, it's not warming up. It's cooling down. Glaciers are growing. The Arctic ice pack is getting thicker. Oh no. That is a sure sign of global warming. That's what I mean, though, folks, is that, look, you're not going to get away from this. You are a person of faith, whether you claim it or not. And I tell you what you believe what you've heard. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. You're being programmed. They say, it's warming up, it's warming up, it's warming up. And besides that, the baby harp seals are going extinct. And they have feelings just like us. We were up at, we were up at Breezy Point. And the guy that got the stingray thing in his heart, Irwin, the Australian guy. Well, he's on there. Of course, he's gone now, but he's on there, and there's this snake. And he's protecting the snake from the villagers. He found the snake under his bamboo hut or whatever. And he's going to take the snake into the woods and let it go because the people of the village will kill the snake if they see it. I'm thinking, that's what I'd do. He says, but this has to stop because here is a living, breathing creature. And he feels just like you. He feels fear and anguish just like you. And you know, this goes on for a little while, and pretty soon I'm crying and stuff. No. But you know, you hear people, folks, you will eventually believe, you say, well, I am never going to be an environmental wacko. No, but you will adopt certain tenets of it. I mean, you'll begin to say, well, I'm not a wacko, but God did leave us the earthly resources to be the stewards of. Where'd you read that? Now look, I'm not interested in dumping nuclear waste in a river. I'm not interested in dumping sewage in a river. You know, I would be for legislation that avoided that. Okay? So I'm not being an idiot about this. It's just that I have dominion in the Bible. And I care about the resources because I want to use more of them. Like I was given permission to do. Has nothing to do. You say, but what about the baby harp seals? I hope they all die. I have never seen one in my life. They don't live in my backyard. I don't care. Look, as long as there are pigs that give us pork, chickens that give us chicken, and beef that gives us hamburgers and T-bones, I'm good. If all the boa constrictors die, good thing. You know, if the blue-breasted crane of northern Minnesota dies, I've never eaten crane. I don't know what good they are. I don't really care. Don't really care. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? I'm not really sure here. Oh, yeah. I got news for you. God expects you to think. And there's a calculation of faith. It's not just the refusal of faith. It's not just the choosing of faith. It's the esteeming of faith. It's putting some things on a balance and esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasure in Egypt. I cannot imagine living a life worrying about whether a certain
species is going extinct. I can't imagine spending a lot of time recycling. I ain't got time for it. I barely have time to put my socks on in the morning. I just soon go without socks. Okay? Got other things to do. I'm serious. I mean, I cannot imagine living like some people live, and they just spend their time doing this about all the things that they have to accomplish, and nothing that they accomplish is worth a hill of beans. You have a life to live for Jesus Christ. You got people to try to win for Jesus Christ. You got a Bible to try to learn. You got a God to try to move in heaven by your prayers. Who has time for the environment? Clean your house, rake your yard, and be done with it. Let them worry about it. They're going to tax you anyway. All right, I want you to see something else, though. Verse 26. Not only refusable faith, not only the choice of faith, not only the calculation of faith, but go down to verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming, there's the calculation of faith, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Then there's another addition here. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Why did he do what he did? Because he figured God was going to pay him back for it. He calculated and chose the reproach of Christ with the people of God as being, making him richer than anything that he could ever gain in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I want to talk to you about the prospect of faith. The recompense, the reward. I mean, that's your prospect. I understand if you walk by faith, if you walk by the faith of the Bible, it's going to cost you some things down here. Probably cost you some friends. It may cost you fellowship with part of your family. I hope it doesn't cost you a wife or a husband. I hope it doesn't cost you any kids or anything like that. But somewhere along the way, somebody's mother-in-law is going to be upset. Somewhere along the way, somebody's great aunt is going to be upset. And it's going to cost you something. But I hope that you understand that it's worth it. Because living by faith, look, you can make your great aunt mad over nothing anyway. You're not going to get through this life with all your friends. You're not going to get through this life with all of your family being happy with you. Even living for the devil, even living for the world, wouldn't you rather lose those friends for a significant reason? The reproaches of Christ. Say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, it's the prospect of faith. I mean, Moses did what he did, and it was calculated. It was calculated because he knew that he would get more back for doing what he did for Israel than if he stayed and lived for himself in Egypt. Okay, now listen, folks. We all are tempted to live for ourselves here, and probably all of us do more than we ought. But I can tell you this, the reward's greater for you denying yourself here and living for God than living for yourself here and then going to the grave and it's all lost. All right? It's just true. We are not very patient anymore. We have a hard time seeing the distant reward. It's just hard for us. You know, this life is all that we've ever known. And sometimes it's just hard to say, I'm living now for what I get on the other side. Even when you are stirred to tears about that, the next morning, here is back in your face. Right? But listen, folks, there is the prospect of faith. You have been promised exceeding riches when you get to the other side just for being faithful. It's the prospect of faith. I want you to notice something else. Go down to verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt. All right, The separation of faith.
Even in our crowd, start hammering separation too hard and people start rolling their eyes. Okay? And usually at that point, we're accused of being Pharisees or legalistic. I mean, anybody that has any kind of conviction at all about clothing has to be a Pharisee. Anybody that has any kind of conviction at all about what kind of music, I mean, has to be a legalist. You know, just, it's ridiculous. People would think that clothing and music, that people would have any rules at all, you know, in their lives. I mean, serving God is not about rules. You couldn't have convinced Moses of that, but that's what they say today, right? Just because we're not under law. I mean, serving God, it's not about rules. And no, it's not. It's not all about rules. Because it's easy to lose the spirit in the rules. It's easy for the sanctity of an Old Testament Sabbath day to be lost in just the ritual of not working on the Sabbath day. I know that's easy. I understand that. Did you ever stop to think, though, that that separation from the world is an act of faith? Now listen, don't play games with me. You have rules.
Well, if you have that rule, you know, you're a Pharisee. You're a legalist.
Don't be an idiot. You have rules. And you know what? You draw your rules, for the most part, arbitrarily. Anybody that says they don't have rules, they're a liar. They do have rules. Sometimes those rules are terribly arbitrary. You know, I don't drink liquor or beer at all, period. I think the Bible teaches that, okay? You say, well, that's ridiculous. Okay, do you drink? Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you just drink all the time, every day, all day. Wow, no. I mean, I ain't not a drunk. Oh, you drew a line. You're not a drunk. Well, why is your line okay and mine's not? You just drew yours arbitrarily. So, well, I just don't, it's not right for a man to walk. Where's that written? Well, the Bible said, well, you can't use the Bible. You threw the Bible out. You said I was a legalist or a Pharisee for using the Bible to set my standards. And then you went and drew an arbitrary rule. You said, well, I couldn't make any money if I was a drunk. Oh, yeah, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. Who can play this game, right? Well, women bless old Baptist church. Most of them come to church in dresses. It's pharisaical. I didn't make any rules. I haven't seen anybody here in bikinis. Well, you say, well, you know, Brother Stevens, you got to draw a line somewhere because, you know, a bikini is not appropriate for church. Who said that? Where's that written? I mean, my Bible says let a woman be clothed in modest apparel. That's what my Bible says. But you threw out the Bible because you said I was a Pharisee. So, you can't use the Bible. Come to church naked. Oh, no. Well, why not? See, everybody draws a line. You do too. You will. Oh, there will be a day you, as a teenager, gave your mom and dad such a fit. And then there's a precious day you fall in love with somebody and he says nice things to you and you say nice things to him. And then you guys have babies after you get married. You maybe even do things, the right things in the right order. I hope you do. And you'll start having kids. And then you'll learn a few things about rules. And you'll make a rule and the kid will say, why? And you'll go, because I said so! And that's supposed to do. And it will do until they grow up to be 200 pounds and 6 feet tall.
And then we'll get to see, you know, how you've done at establishing standards. Now listen, folks, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but there's a separation of faith. I mean, being separate from the world is an article of the faith. You're supposed to be different from them. And if you're going to be different from them, then there has to be a line drawn somewhere. Your line doesn't have to match mine exactly. I've never, ever tried to legislate that. But hopefully reading the same Bible and having the same faith, we come somewhere near the same area of drawing a line. You don't believe in going to church naked, do you? Right? You say, well, no. You don't believe in coming to church in bikinis, do you? Well, no. You don't believe in coming to church in halter tops and shorts, do you? Well, no, that's not a problem. Well, you know, well, read the Bible. You realize that separation isn't that you act in faith when you say, you know what? When I was in the world, I went to bars and listened to that kind of music. In the midst of my drunken binges, I went to bars and listened all night to that kind of music. I don't want to go to church where they have that kind of music. In fact, I don't want to play that kind of music in my car. You know what? I don't want my kids to listen to that kind of music. What's wrong with that line?
Well, because music is neutral and because you're a Pharisee and blah, 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 and you don't have one verse on it.
I took a step of faith. It's the separation of faith. I only have 6 or 8 points more. Verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt. It was separation, the separation of faith. Not fearing the wrath of the king. I don't know what you think about that. I read that Moses got found out and fled from the king's face. But, you know, that was written back in Exodus, and this is up in Hebrews, and that's in that side of Calvary, and this is on this side of Calvary. And the Lord appears to have given Moses the credit for having some courage that he might not have possessed at the moment. But it does point out something. It points out the courage of faith, doesn't it? By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. The courage of faith. Do you ever stop to think that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and that you have the Word of God and you read the Word of God and hear the Word of God, that one of the things it's supposed to affect is to keep you from being scared all the time? I mean, isn't that what happened when you trusted Christ and you no longer fear for your soul? Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? Would you ever think that it might ought to go beyond that, where you don't even fear the king? The king Osama, Hussein, Obama? And what might come in the mortgage crisis and this, that, or the other? It says, not fearing. By faith, he forsook how? Not fearing the wrath of the king. It was the courage of faith. Sometimes people spend all their time in fear. And if it's not the African bees or hurricanes or we live in Tornado Alley or the environment or this or my job or the mortgage crisis, then it's something else. It's always something else. It'll always be something else. You know, started out, I was 20. Marcy and I got married. I was 25 years old. Started the church 27 years old. Now I'm going on 48 years old. I'm getting older. And one day, I'll probably get a disease. I can't run in fear of that. Right? You can't run in fear of that. The courage of faith. And finally, go down to verse 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, he kept the Passover. Okay, you know what the Passover is. You know what it stands for. You know it was a foretype of Jesus Christ. You understand that? Standing there in that Egyptian sand, it must have
You know, of course, the foundation had been laid because the Lord had told him he was going to do things. And, you know, the locust came and the darkness came and the murrain came and cows died and, you know, all that stuff. And blood, the water turned to blood and frogs came out of the water and lice and all that kind of stuff. And so, I mean, there was a foundation for it. But you have to admit, a slave nation standing there in the middle of the Egyptian desert, and somebody says, you know, a voice from heaven comes and says, all right, on a certain day, take a lamb from your flock that should be without blemish and without spot, and put it up and feed it. And keep it a few days, and on a certain day, at a certain hour, at a certain time, kill it, splatter its blood all over your door, then cook it. And after you've cooked it, go in the house, and don't come back out, and eat the whole lamb. Don't leave any of it. And if you do that, then your kids won't die. I mean, really, sounds a little far out, don't you think? I mean, when it gets down to it, here's something that's never been done before. In some regards, it didn't make any sense. It broke with tradition. And beside that, something you may not remember from Genesis, was that sacrificing those sheep was an abomination to the Egyptians. I mean, when you sacrificed a sheep, a lamb, the Egyptians just had a fit. Because it was the abomination of the Egyptians to do so. And so in doing so, you know, the tensions between you and the Egyptians were already not too good. When you did that, you really tied the rag on the bush. But you know what? He obeyed. Through faith, he kept Passover. Why? Because the Lord told him to. And thereby, he delivered the children of Israel. Can you see in all this that by the time you get to verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned? I mean, folks, those people got out in that desert. Moses raised a rod, and a wind came and blew a trench into the sea. I'm not talking about a river, and I'm not talking about a sea of reeds. I'm talking about a sea that people later drowned in. And Israel walked across on dry land. Now, folks, that's power. And it's power that came by faith. By faith, he refused. By faith, he chose. By faith he esteemed. By faith he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook. And by faith he kept. He was obedient. We could use some of that. Faith is not just what you believe in your heart. Faith has legs. And it has a tongue. And a bunch of times it says no, not yes. And a bunch of times with its feet it walks a different way and the world thinks it should. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the good night here tonight, good spirit. We pray that you will bless what's been said. May it enlighten our darkness. Lord, we are constantly bombarded with a ton of things from this life. We ask that you'd help us to abide close to the lighthouse, Lord, the source of things. May it be a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 359.
anybody's interested in seeing Jacqueline's radiation schedule to see if you can help, you can see me after. I'll make a copy of it and put it on the back table so you can look at it. If you're interested in helping out, come see me, all right? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for a good day today, good crowd. We pray that you'll bless the visitors that we've had. And Lord, again, we just ask the Word of God would have its effect in each and every heart and life that's been under it here today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.